How do you do, fellow kids? We're here to talk about video games and how hard they might be. I'm Average Trey here with my co-host Sid.
Hey.
He got his hey in, that's good.
Yeah.
And today, we got a special guest. I'll give him a special subtitle, don't worry. None other than a longtime Sunshine runner and runner of other games of the GameCube era and other stuff, I guess. Paper Ario.
Hello. That was a good sum.
And other stuff, I guess.
I was like, wait, also he did some other stuff that wasn't on the GameCube, that's right.
But, you know, mostly the GameCube. GameCube's kind of cool.
Yeah, you're definitely a GameCube boy, I presume.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely played the most GameCube games, and to my collection, that's definitely the most I have, and have the, like, fondest memories of.
This is episode 34. I said hey before, earlier. I'm Sid, hi.
Who are you?
My show. It's my show. It's Trey's also here.
I'm just kind of here. I do the intro all the time, so don't worry.
Yeah, he does it. I've done the intro like 6 weeks in a row, and now Trey.
And then
is
I raged at him because that's not true at all.
Yes.
Anyway,
Paper also plays the clarinet. This is a fun fact I would like to just drop in right here before I forget because I didn't write it down. But the clarinet's important.
That was a good fun fact.
It was the hint that I gave out as my podcast guest hint, and Rasmus figured it out.
That's a good
even
hint.
Rasmus knows.
Yeah, he plays the clarinet, and he sits there for a while, and he goes, I have no idea. And then an hour later, he's just like, oh, I know who it is. Because it's just like, eventually you figure it out. You just look up clarinet players, and Paper Ario is right there.
But very few people in the Sunshine community actually have heard Paper play on stream.
Yeah, that was
because that was quite a long time ago when we commentated a match. It was us three, and then Paper played us out with his clarinet when it was over.
What match was that even? Do you remember?
It was some bingo thing, I think. I don't remember.
Was it like a good match?
No.
Considering I don't remember it, probably not.
See, back in 2014, I commentated every match except one in the bingo tournament. So me commentating it means literally
nothing
as to the quality of the match.
True.
Yeah, I didn't commentate as much as Sid, but I can say one thing. I do remember the clarinet. That's all I got. So,
but yeah, we had Paper play the clarinet. Hello, Paper. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
How are you? You know, I asked before the podcast, how are you? You didn't actually answer my how are you. I just want to know how you are. It's important.
I'm great, man.
Thank
Game
you.
Is fun. Life is fun.
Did you do any prep for this podcast?
Of course not.
As we were telling you before this podcast, we put a lot of prep in. We put a lot of effort.
Correct.
Honestly, like way more prep than cheese, way more prep than chilling, dude. This is going to be the best episode of all time.
Because we've known Paper for so long, we had so much to dig through experience-wise and memories, you know, just to ask and prod about. But first, we're going to go super general with Paper. We're going to ask him a very wide... And then a wide question, and then we're going to get narrower as we go along. Right, Trey?
We're going to start from the top, the early history?
Yeah, we're going to go early history. Paper, okay. How did you get into video games, just in general?
In general, I just played them a lot when I was younger, and I was always, like, super competitive with, like, my brother and sister. Like, we would see, like, who could beat, like, a video game, like, the first. Like, sort of like speedrunning, but, like, you know, not at all.
Are they older or younger siblings?
Older.
Okay.
So
actually smarter? That's you're in the spot I'm in, being the younger person, you get access to the most stuff.
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff that, you know, because my siblings had, but yeah, like all three of us, like, you know, we sort of played games, and that was probably how I started. The first game I played was like Pokemon Blue when I was like four or something, because my brother gave it to me.
The Game Boy was your first thing.
Yeah, technically.
Okay.
Game Boy is a cool system. I actually played a lot of Game Boy games. Like, I played Superstar Saga, Pokemon.
Oh, Game Boy Advance.
Yeah, I guess more Game Boy Advanced.
How did you race each other? If you only had one, did you only have one copy of the game, or did you just like?
Yeah, it wasn't exactly like, you know, the racing we know. It's just like which person beat the game first.
Yeah,
that was our sort of like racing, but.
The regular sibling rivalry of, okay,
of who can do something
we own the
first.
Game. I'm going to sit beside you as you play, and then I'm going to do exactly what
you do. And
then
I'm going to play, and then, yeah.
And then eventually. Mom says it's my turn on the Xbox.
My turn on the GameCube, Mom.
So Game Boy Advance. You start with Game Boy Advance. It's are you a big super, what's the Mario Kart for Advance called?
I didn't play that one.
You never played that
No. I think the first Mario Kart game I got into was probably Double Dash. Ooh. Or the DS one. It was one of those.
Dude, Super Circuit was my very first Mario Kart. It's got a big place in my heart, even though it's pretty overlooked and kind of the black sheep of the series. I love it. So,
dude, everything's the black sheep of every series now.
I'm like a black sheep magnet. I mean, I run Mario Sunshine, the black sheep of 3D Mario's, Super Circuit, first Mario Kart. I don't have any more examples for this, but just trust me.
I think
I'm right.
Is there a black sheep of Paper Mario?
Ooh, anything past Thousand Year Door?
Yeah, basically. In the general Paper community, that would be what most people say.
The majority of Paper Mario is black sheep.
God. You know, I think I would actually say that, like, maybe the N64 could be considered the black sheep because no one really counts Color Splash or Sticker Star.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we look at just the first three games, like, the original, well, no.
I don't know. I think each of the games serve their own purpose. It's kind of hard to pinpoint one.
Like, SPM is different from them, but I wouldn't say that it was, like, the black sheep, surely because it just played differently.
I guess for me personally, I could never get into the first Paper Mario. I played Thousand Year Door first, and I loved it. Then I tried out Paper Mario on emulator a couple years later, and the whole time I was playing it, it just seemed like a watered-down version of TTYD. So I feel like you can only really fully enjoy Paper Mario, the first one, if you played it before TTYD.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I could get behind that. I was the same way. I played TTYD first, and then I figured out much later that that was even the second game in the series.
Oh, yeah.
And so then I got the original Paper. I think I enjoyed it the first time I played through.
But like, it's a good game. I just didn't find it as interesting.
In a lot of ways, yeah, it is a watered-down TTYD. And as, like, a casual, like, I wouldn't recommend playing, you know, like, Paper 64 over TTYD. I just recently played through TTYD, actually, and it was a really good
game. Solid game. Are you going to try out Hero Mode when Reed finishes it?
Maybe.
If it's good.
If it's good, maybe.
Ball's in your court, Reed.
See, I only asked about Paper Mario because I thought it would just be kind of funny because everybody hates the later ones. I've never played a Paper Mario, as some might know. Reed really wants me to play TTYD, I think.
I partially want you to, but I respect you if you don't.
Yeah, Reed definitely wants everybody to play TTYD, but because he just wants to make all that money from Hero Mode. Yeah, all that cash moolah.
You know what's funny is that even though your name is literally Paper Mario, I never make the connection to Paper Mario when I see your name. I just think of you as like Mario Sunshine guy.
Yeah, sort of just developed like, because I mean, I never really played Pape too much. Like, it was never my main speed game.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe that's why, like, you never got the association. Like, you just...
And actually, I think a question that possibly every viewer is wondering is, where does the name Paper Mario come from? Was it a typo or was it intentional?
It was a typo.
Ooh.
That's like a 2012 story. Like, so back then, like, my computer was garbage and Twitch was weird. And so sometimes I would have to, like, press a key multiple times to get it to actually like go into a chat message, and so I thought I typed the M, and then I made my account and the M wasn't there.
You thought the name Paper Mario would be available?
Well, it was Paper Mario 1231, of course.
Oh, right, with the numbers. Okay, that's fair.
Gosh,
how could I forget the numbers? That's classic.
It is classic. I'm a little offended right now.
Paper Mario 1231 got the record with GBS or whatever. I don't know.
What about the brief period of time where it was Paperio? Do you regret changing it from Paperio? Like, do you think about going back ever?
I don't think about ever going back, but I do think it's funny how I hated that name back in, like, I don't know when that happened, mid-2016?
Yeah.
Somewhere around there, but whenever that happened, like, I really hated that name. And, like, now half of the people I talk to call me Pape. So it's just like, it's funny how that turned around.
You should just go for the name Pape MS.
Pape MS.
See, I would have hated the name Paperio because I hate pears. Because pears suck. How do you? What's your stance on pears?
I don't really have a like preference toward pears. I don't buy them myself, but if like someone handed me a pear, I'd probably eat it.
I'm the same way. I don't think I've eaten a pear in like over 5 years.
I don't like pears. Pears suck. I'm just.
But we love pears.
I'd rather eat a lot of fruits over pears.
Yeah, they're like bottom tier fruit. For sure.
That I agree with.
Yeah,
I can think of a lot of worse fruits than pears.
Name two.
Blueberries.
What?
And yeah, I don't like blueberries that much.
Why do you hate blueberries?
I know they're super healthy, but they just, I don't know, they're gross.
You mean on their own? But what about in a month?
Blueberries by themselves.
Oh, okay.
What did you think I meant?
I don't know. Like, put them in a muffin? Who eats a pear muffin?
Yeah, of course in a muffin. That's because it's a muffin.
Well, yeah, but the blueberry adds something.
I'm talking,
you know?
Straight up fruit, yo.
I understand, yo. Don't yo
okay,
me, bro.
Okay, thanks, yo.
Okay.
The all other right, one, know, durian. Haha.
Aha.
I've never had durian, but I hear it tastes like shit, so.
Yeah, and smells like shit, too.
Yep. So anyways, so early gaming, a lot of Game Boy, GameCube, of course.
Right. Yeah, GameCube was definitely the biggest system. Although, I didn't play a lot of classics on the GameCube, though. Like, I didn't play Pikmin until much later. I didn't play... What are the other, like, big GameCube classics?
Was Sunshine one of your first ones you played?
Yes. I played, like, a lot of Mario Sunshine, Mario Baseball, and, like, Kirby Air Ride when I was, like, less than 10 years old.
Actually, wait. So, for, like, a small experiment, did you play Mario 64 growing up?
No.
Okay, it's furthering my theory that a lot of Sunshine runners never played 64.
I played 64.
I know, I said a lot, not all of them.
I know, you said... Thank you.
Just to clarify, because Paper and I never played 64 growing up, so... Coincidence? I think not.
Yeah, I don't think it's... Yeah, I think it's not a coincidence. You're right.
Anyway.
Now, when we had an N64 in, like, my household, I was, like, stupid young. And, like, the GameCube, like, basically it just came out. And so...
Right.
The N64 just got, like, obsoleted in our household. And I don't think we ever even had Mario 64. We had, like, Pokemon Stadium.
Ooh.
That's a good one. Game.
Did you play the Drowsy game? The Drowsy minigame?
I wouldn't remember it.
Aww.
But.
Dude, it's been maybe? So long since I've played Pokemon Stadiums at all that the only memory... Like, I know the Kakuna minigame where you harden at the right time to not get hit by the rock.
I do remember that.
That's a fun one. And then the Drowsy one, I don't remember what you actually do, but I remember him swinging his sleepy thing back and forth. I don't know. Pokemon Stadium is a really good game. I want to know about Mario Baseball. I've heard of Mario Baseball. I cannot think of Mario Baseball. I can think of Toadstool Tour, the golf game. I can think of Mario Strikers.
Toadstool Tour is really good.
Both games are really good. Mario Baseball.
Right.
I don't think I've ever seen gameplay of this game.
It's probably one of the more hidden ones. Like, I think there's two games. There was one on GameCube, and then one on Wii.
Isn't it like Mario Sluggers?
It's just like a Mario.
Something?
Yeah, Mario Sluggers. Yeah.
Yep.
But it's just like another Mario sports game.
I have one experience playing Mario Baseball. And it was with SM Loader because he actually had the game growing up and he just utterly wrecked me because I never played the game before.
Nice.
It was like 20-0 probably. Like, fuck.
Okay, so we're in GameCube. We play Super Mario Sunshine. We play Mario Baseball. We're getting through all the sports games. Correct. When do you... See, so you're an early addition to the Super Mario Sunshine speedrunning community. You were before Trey and I. By
correct
years, couple years probably
about like 1 year probably.
You were one of the original, ish.
Yeah, no, I was definitely like one of the first like 100 runners of the game.
But you were
easily like in early 2012. There was like what 50 people maybe.
God, it's hard to say. Maybe like 60, 70. It It was closer to 100 than you would probably expect.
I'm trying to picture that old Google spreadsheet as best as I can.
But most of the times were like very high. Like at that point, like Tobo and Chibi had like the best times by like 6 or 7 minutes.
And then it was like hidden power.
Which to modern standards sounds ridiculous, but in old standards, like that made a lot of sense. None of us were like nearly as good as them. HP was like third with a 139 and the best non-JP runner.
Yeah, like just getting sub 140 was top three.
That's crazy.
How old were you when you started speedrunning? Because you were like, you would have been
how 12.
Old? That's insane.
Yeah, literally was, fetch.
So, I was really young.
So you've been playing for 8 years.
Correct.
And hey, you know what? To further our analogy with Simply, playing for 8 years, being cream of the crop for the last like couple, and then getting 120 record this year.
Mm-hmm.
Very business of Simply. Popping off.
Yeah.
I love Simply. I'm glad that he's doing well.
But speaking of Simply, you're also doing well, having the 120 record right now. Are you? So you've been playing for that long. I was going to just jump into the... You know what? Screw it. I'm going to jump into the guy question. Are you scared of guy?
Of course. There's no SMS... If you're not scared of guy, there's probably something wrong with you.
Okay. The guy question. Like, are you afraid of... Does it remind you of Nanashi in a way?
I think guy is scarier than Nanashi.
Really?
Guy is... I think guy is scarier purely because, like...
He speaks English.
I think he speaks English, so we know more of his personality. And then also, like, I think his level of execution is just, like, unmatchable by anyone right now.
I pretty much agree.
Like, I'm scared of Guy, and if he gets the record, I, like, will not be shocked. I also, like, glad I had it. It was cool to have it.
Well, you have it still.
I do.
But you talk as if you're going to lose it like right now.
I probably will. Guy is probably doing a run right now and will beat me right now during this podcast.
This podcast is pretty cursed to where I bet that if we like talk about, oh yeah, you have the record, that's pretty awesome. By the time we upload it, he's going to have it.
Well, it's happened a few times where it's like Calf was like, oh yeah, I'm totally down to do any percent runs. I'm getting into it. And then like by the time we uploaded the podcast, he's like, nah, fuck this. I hate this game. Like
I'm done.
So it has done that before, but yeah. But like throughout so you've been playing the game for 8 years and you've gone through all the eras, everybody being really good, you being good, you know?
I was good a couple times in this game.
The any percent record back in 2014.
That was highlight of my career.
Pog.
Easily.
I'd say that Paper, you were pretty strong in the pre-GBS era. Like you had.
I was like top 10 player, top five in like early 2012, which didn't really mean in like anything.
Even later than that, probably you had like a 132, and that was like amazing.
That was like a top 10 time pre-GBS.
Because I grinded my ass off to get a 134. I think I got it just before GBS was found, finally.
Mm-hmm. And it's crazy to think that Chibi had one of those in, like, 2011?
Dude, yeah, that always blew my mind. Like, in 2013, I would be like, dude, how'd this guy get this time in 2011? I can barely even get sub 140.
Mm-hmm.
Nuts.
Yeah. Dude, the sub 140 barrier was, like... one of like the most satisfying barriers, I think, in Sunshine 90%.
Yeah, I feel like once you break it, you have like some momentum going, and then around 136, 137, you kind of hit a plateau again.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck. I'm 3 minutes off the record.
Well, to make it about me for a second, everybody talks about the sub 140 barrier. I'm the only person that I don't really care about the one sub 140 barrier. Like, I think it took me 4 runs to get sub 140 and I submitted it to the leaderboard and they accepted it. And I was like, oh, okay. And then GBS came out and then I quit.
Because I remember seeing your name on the leaderboard.
Well, that makes more sense. Like toward the end of 2014, stuff was a lot different than 2012.
True. And also, leaderboards didn't require video proof unless it was like a world record back then.
I didn't lie.
I believe
Sid
you.
Sid's not a liar. Confirmed.
I'm not a liar. I've never lied once. I remember when I started participating in the IL leaderboard, and I started typing my times, even if they were record, and not submitting a video right away. And then the Equivocal Geniuses and the Oat Flakers were like, "Hey, bro, do you have a video?" And I'm sitting there going, "Like, I'm streaming right now. Like, I'll upload it later. Like, I'll just like I have never lied within speedrunning."
As far as we know.
As far as you know.
That's exactly what a liar would say.
That's true.
All of Sid's run spliced.
But, you know, we'll keep tabs on you, but we believe you so far.
Yeah. So you've been through the entire, like, all the eras of SMS. Is Guy the scariest of them all so far? Is that, like, a question that I can even ask? Can you approximate, like, Samu back in the... Because I was only around
in 2014. Yeah, no, I think this is actually a really interesting question.
Hmm. Yeah.
I don't know, like, maybe, like, mid-2015 Tobo?
Ooh.
I'm trying to
think. I don't know, when Tobo was in his prime, he felt like a beast.
I think, okay, it's different now, because, like, Paper and I, we know what it's like, and Sid, sorry. we all know what it's like to be, like, in that top player position, right?
Yeah, I totally understand. You guys can say
for 96 Shines, come on, 96 Shines.
It's fine.
So, I mean, now that we've all been there, it feels different. Like, you can sort of, like, you can gauge the effort and skill required to be at that level now. But, like, back in the day, in 2014, when we weren't top-level players, at least I wasn't, or Sid, Paper almost, but not really.
Right. No, I got you. It's hard to know, like, what the top runners at that time were doing.
Yeah, Tobo just seemed so untouchable because we weren't at that level yet.
Right.
But now that we understand how good Guy really is, he seems scarier.
I think Guy would still have to take the cake because that man just has, like, unlimited potential.
It really seems like it. I've never seen him struggle to get a PB.
Exactly.
In any category.
See, I've only felt the might of the people just like, oh, I'm good at all the categories. I'll play 96 Shines for a couple months and see what I can do.
Mm-hmm.
Where I was like, oh, I'll be the only one to dedicate. After Trey got his 96 Shine world record and got all four with like a 243, which is
it was so bad,
which is 12 minutes worse than the record is right now.
Dude, 2015 like, standards were wild, man.
Nobody cared about 96 Shines, and so he did the play 96 Shines for a couple or like two runs and get the record, and then I started actually caring. Shadow Mario started caring, and then bopped me in order to make me not get it, and then Nanashi came in.
Didn't Shadow Mario do the play two runs and leave it also?
Yeah.
How?
He didn't really care about it, though.
No, nobody... I'm the only person that cares about 96 Shines.
See, okay, let me... This is a good point. Sorry for interrupting you, but...
I'm just explaining... I think Trey just...
I gotta make it clear to anyone. I still get comments asking or saying, I will wait patiently for the 79 or 96 Shines record progression video. And I'm sitting there like, do you realize how little history these categories have?
It's like, literally okay. Just it's literally just the good players at 90 or any percent and 120 just being like, I'm bored. I'm gonna go to 96.
So okay,
literally that would be the history.
Yeah.
The only interesting part of 96 Shines is Sid's rise to prominence for like a week. So it's like, okay, top level player just tries it out because they're bored. Ooh, world record.
I didn't know that this would be the episode that would make me cry.
Okay, and then Sid comes around, and he's trying his gosh darndest, and he comes out on top for a little bit.
That's the only interaction I've ever... Like, I've been top 10 in any percent, but that was when, I don't know, just after EYG, or just before EYG, and then EYG took off, and I was just like, okay, well, I'm just going to sit back here and let everybody else go. And then, so 96 Shines was me interacting with Trey, and then, yep. But Trey's time sucked. And then Shadow Mario pushed it, and Leviton actually pushed it a little bit. Like Leviton.
Really? I didn't know about that.
Leviton played it until like 241, but like it was better than. I don't know if he had the record. But
I don't even remember that.
When it was a good time. And then like Shadow Mario had it, and then when Nanashi was dominant, he was like, you know, I'm taking a break from any percent because I keep choking Bowser. I'm going to play 96 Shines. And then gets the record by 3 minutes. And we're like, Shadow Mario and I are sitting there going like, shit. And Shadow Mario goes, yeah, Sid's not going to get the record now, lol. And I'm, and then I didn't even really react to that. I just kind of sat there and was just like, yeah, he's right.
And dude, Shadow Mario was like low-key disrespectful to you.
It, no, he's high-key. Like
high-key disrespectful, but also high-key kind of right until you got the record.
So. Until I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to grind. And then I got record. And then he came back.
What was that time? Was that like a 236?
235.
235.
Yeah.
It was like, okay. It was, Ninashi had a high 235, and then I almost bopped that. Shadow Mario was an asshole because I was grinding. He came back and then got a low 235 before I got the record. And then I got the record.
Right. I do remember that.
And then I got the record from him. So Shadow Mario being high level 120 shines runner back in the, or back in the day, like an hour, like an hour ago in speedrun, however long, like
in speedrun correlate, like dog years.
Yeah. And
speedrun years.
So Shadow Mario, like Levitin, Trey, then Ninashi came in, got the record. Shadow Mario got it from him. I got it from him for like a day. Ninashi came back, got it again. And then I had to grind. And then like SB came in at some point, and then Guy got it by 2 minutes after I got the record back. And I'm like, okay, whatever.
See, that's
like
a decent history. 96 shines could be cool.
But
come on, Trey.
Well, see, no, not really.
96 shines, me interacting with high level players at this point is people coming to 96 shines and being like, fuck you.
If it wasn't for Sid, there would be absolutely no history of that category whatsoever.
Because it would still be what, like 234? Yeah. Like Guy would have come and then gotten 234 and then went, oh, I got record.
I mean, who knows what it'd be now. But anyways, that kind of reminds me. So I think Paper, you've had the record in every category at least some point, right?
Yeah.
I think. 79?
I had 79 like 2018 or 2019.
Oh, that recent. Wow, like I don't remember that.
It was, I got like a 222 that was like slightly lower than who had it at that point.
Because I know you had 96 shines like forever ago.
Yeah, I held 96. I actually would be in the 96 shines history for back in like 2013.
When it was like 250 or something.
Yeah, those days.
Dude, sub 396 shines. Oh, man.
Sub 396 shines. That was at one point. Like,
you know what we could do, Sid? I got an idea.
You know what? Shoot.
We're going to bring back WR history segments.
Yeah.
And that's when we'll do the history of all the other bullshit categories.
Well, I don't know any of 58. Paper used to have 58.
That's going beyond bullshit, okay?
Yeah, we don't need to talk about 58.
We don't go about all the bullshit.
But it did happen. I did have that one.
Yeah,
and then
go for it.
Any percent for 20 hours and then 120 shines recently.
Hey, you know what? 20 hours is longer than I held the 96 shines the last time I had it. And you know what? It's
not a bustling category.
You know, I was just sitting there going like, I really hope Guy doesn't take it. And then 13 hours later, Guy's just like, you know what? I beat it by 2 minutes.
And you're like, oh.
Suck it. And I'm just sitting there going like, why? And then he's just like, I don't know. I played the game.
So Paper, how much do you think in this recent stint where you really rose up and took the world by storm with all these 120 improvements, how much of that is the new routing and how much is your hard work and dedication?
I'm gonna go with 50-50 because and I think that actually would work out exactly because I had a 259.50 at the start of all of this.
Right.
And I would say then compared to the route I used then, I probably save about a minute, if not slightly more than that. Plus I added in some like other like situational routing things like pin a six with when you get banana doing like the triangle and the X at the same time.
Wait, didn't we always do that or am I thinking of something else?
No, usually you got the like at the start of pin a six you would get the first X,
right?
And then you would get on Yoshi, eat the bird, and then you do the bottom triangle to the top triangle to the bottom triangle.
Wait, you do Yoshi before the second triangle? Oh, wait, no, you're right. I was thinking of the X's. I'm so dumb.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the Ninashi came up with a strat a while ago where when you get banana, you can unlock the X, unlock the triangle, get the X, get on Yoshi, and get to the top triangle. And that saves like 6-7 seconds.
Dude, Pin of Six is one of my favorite levels in 120 because there's so many ways you can do it.
Yeah, no, Pin of Six is really cool. Especially with like some of the new stuff that Oathflaker's been working on to like maximize like the bird and like certain other fruit RNGs. It was really cool.
Can we just talk about how far 120's come recently because of Oathflaker?
Yeah, dude. Oathflaker's insane.
He's a genius at routing. No wonder he's so good at bingo. Mm-hmm. Like we thought we had it solved 2 years ago. Like when I was doing the sub 3 grind, we were all like, man, there's really nowhere else the route can go. It's just, we got to optimize this route. But sure enough, Oathflaker comes around and is like, oh, there's a minute of time save here, 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 and here. Oh, okay. Let's do that.
You know what's kind of funny is the first half of 120 is actually probably more similar to any percent now than it was when you did your run.
Dude, it's so funny because how like over time the first half of 120 becomes more and more any percent.
Yeah, I was because like in your run you would have done.
I think that like my start was pretty much any percent except you do Pinatu Reds, of course.
Pinatu Reds, Lily Pad,
yeah.
And was there any other shine you did?
I can't. It's been so long. I can't remember. Because actually, my run is so old. It even predates doing Beach Shine Early.
Right, right.
I didn't even get that free 9 second time saver.
Yeah, that's important to think about too, compared to like the route using your 259. Anyways, the whole question of like my hard work and how much the route saves. So like that route saved a minute, and then I put in a lot of work to make a lot of strats better, and then also just updating strats. Mm-hmm. Like the big find was RTA consistent Rocket Reds for Bianco 6.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's right. Because, how much does that save if you get a good one?
Optimally, I think it can actually be up to 15, but that depends on the butterfly in Bianco 100. Because basically the way you do Bianco 100 now, when you go into the village, the butterfly can either be right by that like first ring of pokies, or it can be in like the back spot where the piantas and the floating coin are. And so you want it to be by the flower ring, so that way you don't have to walk all the way over there to walk back and then do the flower ring. And that saves like 4 seconds. So compared to like Oathflaker's comparison, that said it saved 10 seconds. So.
Okay. And so in your recent rise in that category, did you vastly change your practice regimens at all? Or did you like mostly do like the same sort of approach to practicing the game?
God. I definitely spent a lot more time focusing on like the route time saves. Like I practiced a lot of Bianco when I was trying to get really good.
Yeah. Dude, late game Bianco is actually really hard.
It is, but it was also super technical, which probably helped me with the rest of the game. And since like you have to do a lot of rocket tech in Bianco now, which I think basically helps all of the rocket sections. Because like Bianco 8 has more rocket tech now. Bianco 6 Reds obviously has a lot. But in terms of like the other levels I practiced, I don't know. I don't really remember too much. I was just doing like sort of general practice.
Okay. And I know we've been covering like very recent stuff, but to take it back a notch, one of your main inspirations for running this game was Mario Sunshine Versus, correct?
It was. That led me into finding out about like speedrunning and the Mario Sunshine like speedrunning community, because back then Nkiller and Kitten Now was one of the people that was in that versus.
Right.
And so when I found his channel, I found actual Mario Sunshine speedruns. And so then I found the rest of the community, and then from there, that's when I basically right after I figured out that existed, I like did my first speedrun.
Yeah, see, I knew about that series when it was going on and they were releasing episodes. For those who don't know, Mario Sunshine Versus was the Let's Play race. I'm not going to say speedrun race. It was a Let's Play, let's be honest. Between Attacking Toucans and Josh Jepsen, the Mario Sunshine 120 Shines. And it was really funny and really well done. Editing was really good for 2011 standards, especially. And it didn't immediately inspire me to speedrun stuff. It sort of just like opened my eyes to the possibility of like racing games. And then that sort of snowballed into when I found like old AGDQ 2012 VODs and then went from there. But I guess, Paper, you went like pretty much immediately from seeing that series of speedrunning.
Yeah, I think I probably watched a few GDQ runs because AGDQ 2012 was like, I think, really big in like rising the speedrunning community.
Yeah, it was like the first, like, I guess it got like relatively popular.
Relatively popular and like probably was one of the bigger ones back then that like started giving attention to Twitch and speedrunning and all that.
Yeah, 2013 especially was where like it really popped off. Moving on from Sunshine for now, I guess. You run various other games as well, if I understand correctly.
There's a couple.
So Kirby's Epic Yarn, how does one pick this game up to speedrun? Or decide to pick this game up?
Well, you gotta decide that you have some pretty bad taste.
Okay. I'm taking notes. Okay.
Yeah, I'm taking notes too.
You gotta have a love for 2D platformers with lots of tech skill and hard inputs.
Yeah.
When I think Kirby game, I think lots of tech skill.
Mm-hmm. Lots of tech skill. And the best part about the game is that you have to use not only one horizontal Wiimote, but two horizontal Wiimotes.
What?
Why is that?
Which is... So basically, with the second player in Kirby's Epic Yarn, you can spawn, like, a second Kirby. And so you can take one of your Kirbys, you can grab the second Kirby, and then you can throw them up places and do a bunch of skips and stuff with that.
That's cool.
That is probably one of the more interesting things about the Yarn Kirby speedrun. Although now the community is divided on that, and so most people actually don't even run with all that fun stuff.
No!
I know, dude. I'm super sad about it, too.
Dude, that sounds sad. See, it sounded kind of hype up until you said the community's cracking down on the cheater two-player people, you know?
Exactly. It's
wait, are you saying that they consider it cheating, or is it just like a separate category?
Well, it's not like cheating. It's like it's a separated category, and most people do 1P in like the modern Kirby's Epic Yarn community that doesn't exist. Like, they prefer to like optimize 1P instead of 2P.
Dude, that reminds me of like Mario Galaxy Runners. Why do so many Galaxy Runners play Mario instead of Luigi?
I don't know, dude.
I don't get it.
I think Mario is such a worse speedrun for Galaxy.
It has like the long ass intro. He's not as good with movement. Like,
isn't that like a new development though? I feel like Mario used to be the typical Galaxy run up until fairly recently, and then they went, okay, Luigi, because I'm so sick of watching this opening cutscene.
But why wouldn't Luigi become popular immediately if people hate cutscenes so much?
Because they like it's like looking at the SMS community. It's like, oh, they're doing Hacked File now. We should play as Luigi. You know?
Well, it's weird. I mean, people have been doing Luigi, but like only some.
Luigi was like always a category. I played Luigi when I ran Galaxy. That was an interesting
time.
Hype F.
What?
I just don't get why you would even decide to do Mario.
Yeah, I didn't ever get that either. Mario was just like so much worse.
It's the start
because
of
I'm
the
tired
game,
of running
man.
Out of air when I'm swimming.
It's the start of the game. That's how you start the game. You play as Mario. How do you not play Mario in a Mario Galaxy?
But then you play the new game plus. That's faster.
Yeah, it's fine. But then I understand how it was, but I understand the development of it. That's my whole point. Anyway, Kirby's Epic Yarn, one player.
Disgusting.
Why do you despise this category?
It like so I think the most like I just said it, like the most interesting part about Yarn Kirby is the skips and things that you can do with 2P, because that introduces a whole new layer of tech that's also like decently challenging to do, because you have to literally control like two separate Kirbys at the same time.
Yes.
Because
you started to paint it as if, or it sounded like you were painting the second Wiimote as a bad thing, and now it's like the only good thing. So
that is the only good thing.
Yes.
The community though of Yarn Kirby, like they prefer running without 2P.
Yeah. I get that.
Like that's where I was going with that. Like they don't like the 2P run. What exactly was like your question?
I just want to know what's bad about One Piece. Like what? Like taking out all the fun stuff. They just without all the fun stuff. Just yank.
You just yank out fun strats.
Dang.
Is it so? It's like glitchless Super Mario Sunshine.
Okay, and you want to know that you want? Yeah, basically. Yeah. Like you just add in more stupid things by doing glitchless Sunshine 80%.
You can't do turbo storage. You can't do GWKs. You can't do all this, and then it's just like here's a new category.
Can't do casino skip.
No casino skip.
Yeah.
Honestly,
you want to know what's even worse though? Is like, sorry, Trey, but like half of the Yarn Kirby run is already one player. You only used 2P in like half of the levels. Which I also thought that was my reason. I was like, why are we splitting a category that's like 50% identical? But
fair.
Yeah.
How big is this Yarn Kirby community?
Like 50 people. And the active community is like 5, maybe 10.
See,
I don't follow it anymore, but like basically there are 2 good Yarn Kirby runners, which are me and this guy named Funky. And neither of us are playing the game right now and don't really have intentions to, because we both have the world record in our respective categories and don't really care about the other one.
Fair.
So
pretty badass.
And like no one else can basically challenge us because no one has tried to get nearly like good at Yarn Kirby.
Hold my beer. I'm playing Yarn Kirby right now. I'm gonna bop
hold
your
my
ass.
Beer.
I'm coming for you, paper.
You could.
See,
you really could.
You say 5 or 10 isn't that much. That's as much as the entirety of the Assassin's Creed speedrunning community. The entirety of it. There's like 5 runners.
Yeah, and you were acting like it was so small. I was like, 50, that's quite a bit.
Like, and look, Trey and I are debatably part of that community.
Well, that's like the number of runs that have been done. The community probably has never been larger than like 10, 20.
Still more than Assassin's
Creed.
But
even still, like, yeah, I mean, like, it's definitely not like nobody plays the game, but it's very inactive.
I just find it funny that after all this time, I'm still 4th place in Assassin's Creed Brotherhood.
I'm 5th.
That's what it was when I posted that run.
Yeah. So they change it from 2P to 1P. All right. You distance yourself from Yarn Kirby. What's the next game you go to after Yarn Kirby for speedrunning?
After Yarn Kirby, I probably went back to Sunshine at that point. But I think, like, in between, I probably played Pape. Pape was a really cool second speed game that I picked up.
Paper Mario.
Paper Mario, for those who don't
Paper Mario. The
terms.
Because you are Pape. You can't speedrun yourself.
You are correct.
Yeah.
I am Pape. So Paper Mario. I speedrun that game.
Which categories did you play? Like, all cards or something?
I played all of them. The one I played most was probably all cards. I can explain why, but like all cards was usually the category I played. At one point I was like 2nd, and that's like my main claim to fame about Pape. But I've got some like good times in basically all the categories, and I was playing on the slowest version by modern standards, so
from what I understand, 80% Paper Mario is actually ridiculously hard.
It is, and Glower is really good. But like any percent in Paper Mario is just really hard because the ending is super like luck based. Like
right,
you either need
the Bowser fights.
So you either need good caps or you need Bowser to miss essentially, and like there's no in between. And like the harder any percent route also uses like a strat that like 1/3 of the time works, which is where you use like timeout on the hallway Bowser fight.
Hmm.
And so if you get this timeout, which works 1/3 of the time,
oh,
then Bowser
so
will just like Bowser will do nothing for like 2 turns, and you can just whack him.
That's okay. 1/3 chance that it works.
Yeah.
Okay. Assume somebody doesn't know anything about Paper Mario. You know, this hypothetical person,
which might be in the call right now. I don't know.
You know what? Could theoretically like could be sitting right.
Okay.
Nah, surely not. Though we all know what's going on. Right.
We all know what's going. What's a hall pass?
All right, so Sid, you ever been in school and like need to go to
no,
the bathroom?
No, like what's the Paper Mario hall pass?
Did he
I've
say
never
hall
heard...
pass?
Did you say hall pass?
No, I said hallway.
I heard hall pass.
No, this isn't school.
Hall
Sid.
Pass Bowser.
That's what I heard.
Bowser, can I go to the restroom?
I was talking about hallway Bowser. So pretty much in Pape, the chapter 8, which is like the final area, is Bowser's castle. And so you do all of Bowser's castle. For some reason, Peach's castle is on top of Bowser's castle, and you make it to Peach's castle. And then you fight Bowser a first time. And that's what's known as the hallway Bowser.
Okay.
And then you go and fight Bowser a second time, where he gets like stronger. And then you fight him again.
What item did you use to freeze him for two turns?
So you get these like card spirits, which give you like special abilities. Think of like the crystal stars in T2ID. Does that
which
does
that also very rare?
Think of something else from another game of Paper Mario.
Think of
I thought you would know crystal stars.
I'm trying my best. I shouldn't have asked anything about Paper Mario. You know what? I'm just
you
as good. I'm fine with thinking there's a hall pass item in Paper Mario that freezes Bowser for two turns. This is what my thought process was entering this.
Okay, Sid, let me put it into terms you understand, Sid.
Yeah, I'm just...
Think of the Divine Beast powers from Breath of the Wild.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, there's four of those, right?
They shoot a beam.
Yeah, well, there's four of those powers you get. One revives you if you die, but you think it's lame, so you don't use
it.
Oh,
yeah, yeah, the lame one. Yeah.
So there's four of those powers, yeah. And there's seven of them, essentially, in Paper Mario games.
Uh-huh.
Which is one of them is one, like the one of the cards Paper's talking about,
and one's the hall pass.
Yeah, of course. You can go to the restroom in Bowser's castle. It's pretty dope.
That's perfect. That's very convenient.
Yep.
Correct.
That's all I wanted to know. I wanted a brief tutorial on Paper Mario in order to understand everybody's love of that series. You know, because if there's divine, everybody loves the divine beasts in Breath of the Wild. That's all I know for sure. You know.
I think people just like it because it's like a Mario RPG in an interesting style. And so like the casual Nintendo fan who doesn't know anything about RPGs can get into it really easily.
Like me.
Like me.
Because I mean, Mario RPGs were the first RPGs I really played, I guess.
Uh-huh.
You know, Superstar Saga, we both played that.
Correct.
Honestly, I'm not sure if I prefer Superstar Saga or T2ID. They're both amazing. In their own right.
I'd have to play through Saga again, but I'd probably lean toward T2ID right now.
I'm not going to color this question. I'm not going to say what Trey's opinion is or anybody else's opinion. Trey, are you going to get... Or not Trey. Paper Mario. You. Hello. Guest.
Me.
You.
Guest.
Pape.
Are you interested in Paper Mario Origami?
Somewhat. I'll probably play it, but I haven't really followed it intensely because there's not really much to follow. There's like a minute and a half of gameplay. But okay. I'm interested in giving it a shot. I would love to play another Pape game.
Are you one of the people that buy a game and then within 2 days you're speedrunning it, or do you let it breathe?
No. I would definitely let it breathe. I probably wouldn't even speedrun that Pape if I'm being honest.
Nice.
Although, like, it depends on a lot of stuff.
I mean, Sid and I have ranted about this quite a bit. Just people who want to get, like, that day one speedrun world record.
No, I don't see the point of that.
I don't know. People just don't realize, like, the 15 minutes of fame you get from that is literally 15 minutes.
Hey, the guy that did the first speedrun, I think it's like, it rhymes with monkey, or there's monkey in the name. The first guy that did Odyssey... He was in the record history video that I saw made by somebody that was put out at some
probably
point.
Probably Small Ants.
So that existed. So he got his, you know?
Yeah, you can even remember his name. It has monkey in it or something.
Yeah, it had monkey in it. It might have rhymed with monkey.
Yeah, maybe. That's a good sign of fame right there.
Yeah. So he's pretty cool, right?
Like, day one world records, like, don't really mean a lot, but, like, if you, like, want to get good at a speed game eventually, you know, like, you'll probably be playing it actively when it comes out, maybe, or, like a week after or something. Which is still in, like, the infancy of a, like, game speedrun development, so.
And honestly, we don't mean to critique the way someone plays a game. You can play a game however you like.
I do.
All we're saying is, I'm speaking for everyone here, of course.
Thanks, Trey.
Is that, it just... for us personally, it feels weird to not enjoy a game for what it is the first time.
Well, if you really think about it, everybody speedran Super Mario Odyssey because all speedrunners that played that game, like first day when you got to New Donk City and you got to that RC car game, you speedran that shit.
Everybody I tried for like probably 10 minutes.
Yeah. But you tried to do your best within those 10. You're not proving my point, Trey. I need somebody that has 15
no,
or...
I speedran it for like 10 minutes. Oh my God. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. And then
okay, you know what? I'll prove your point. I actually, in my casual playthrough, I genuinely did speedrun the second bouncing snowman race thing, whatever it's called.
The
I got a sub 140. Bouncer. I think it was pretty good. So, yep.
Is paper, has there ever been like the first, any game, it doesn't have to be Odyssey. Can you think of a small bit of like speedrunning that's bled into your casual playthroughs of any game where it's just like, this thing, I need to speedrun for at least 25 minutes and then I'll get it out of my system and go. Maybe the RC car game from...
Does Sunshine Arcade 2 count? Because like, I definitely did that a lot when I was playing that. But like, that was because I was like looking for speedrun strats for when I maybe will speedrun that game.
Are you going to speedrun that
game? I might. I started like, I played through Arcade 2 100%. And then I started like learning it. But I didn't get very far, and then just like pretty much stopped doing that to play 120.
And for those who don't know, Sunshine Arcade 2 is a fully fledged out ISO hack of Mario Sunshine made by a player named Oggs. It's pretty well done, so.
It's really good.
You can probably just like YouTube search Sunshine Arcade 2, you'll find it.
Was there another one other than Sunshine 2 or
I'm trying
Arcade
to think,
1?
Like the most recent thing I would have to think of would either have to be
Sunburn?
No, not Sunburn because I didn't play it. Like maybe something in Breath of the Wild, but I'm really trying to think of what speedrunning thing could have been in that game.
Oh, sorry. For some reason, let Sid ask if there's other Mario hacks. I'm dumb. Okay.
No.
What? Where'd you get
other,
that?
Other
idea,
speedrun
Trey?
Stuff. My bad.
Hall pass, Trey. Hall pass. Come on.
What's a hall pass in Paper Mario?
What's a hall pass in Paper Mario, man? Yeah, I can't think of anything Breath of the Wild speedrunny. Like, I don't. I've been playing.
There's like that one running game, which I might have been like, I'm gonna put on a 3x speed potion and see what time I can get. But
dude, I have not been screwing around with how far did you get in Breath of the Wild? Breath of the Wild right now, I've been picking at for the past few weeks. So your answer is actually important.
I think I'm not as far as you in my main file. I want to say like the percentage is maybe like 60-70 and I had like 500 Koroks.
That's pretty good. I feel like I played
a lot of Breath of the Wild. I definitely had a Breath of the Wild phase.
No, that's pretty good.
That's a lot more than I expected. 500, that's more than most people get.
Did you get the DLC?
I did get the DLC.
You wear the Korok mask? And you walk
around? I don't wear the Korok mask.
You think it's cheating? Do you think it's cheating?
No, because okay. I use an interactive map to find the Koroks.
I don't know what I was hoping. But,
on
the map screen in Breath of the Wild, I look at the percentage. I haven't looked at it in a while, but it was at like 48% like 2 months ago. But I'm... What, two missions You're away, right. two shrines away from completing that, like three missions away from the side missions being done? Like, I don't know how I'm lower
That's
than 50%.
That's really close.
Right? Makes no sense.
Wait, what's your percentage
are you
now,
still
son?
Lower? Yeah, what would be, it, now it's gotta be a lot higher.
I don't
well,
know.
Well, maybe not, because each Korok is like 0.08. I know, it's...
I can't believe that Nintendo put in 900 Korok seeds and then went... Okay, bye. Like, I can't, in the base game, just went, okay, you guys, here you go. You guys can do whatever you want with
well,
it.
Well, I'm pretty
the
sure they
mask.
Don't expect you to find all of them. It's just sort of like, we're going to put a ton of them here, so you're guaranteed to find, like, a decent amount of them, but not all of them, probably.
Well, that's probably what they meant to do, because, you know, like, the Koroks had, like, a good upgrade, and so you're incentivized to look around for them, but, like, clearly they didn't want you to find all of them, because the max reward is at, like, half.
Yeah,
it's like a piece of poop.
Yeah, then you
go for it.
Nintendo literally just rewards you with trash for playing side quest.
It's yeah, how dare they? Insane. So paper, you might know this, but I've been picking at the Korok seeds.
I know. I've probably watched a couple of those streams.
Without the good. Korok mask without the map up, like without any DLC, just wandering around looking for Korok seeds. I'm at 600 even now.
That's really good.
And eventually I'm gonna have to, this, it's gonna get really tough, because I'd like to equate the Korok seeds to like the developers being like, it's like the Odyssey moons where they're just throwing shit everywhere and they're just like, you're gonna love it, like we have all this shit everywhere, and they just put 900 Korok seeds and they just kind of go like, okay, we put 900 in this game, you won't care to find them all, but have fun, you know?
Yeah,
it gives you incentive to explore, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, I kind of enjoy that. But then they didn't think to go, oh, we'll put this mask in if you do such and such, or once you've collected all of your inventory slots, they won't give you the mask to find them all. They went, oh shit, people want to find them all? Let's give them a mask in DLC. Like, they didn't have have enough forward thought to give you that in the base game. So I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to do it the way they didn't want me to do it. Or they initially
prove a point.
Pardon?
Prove a point.
Yeah.
Prove
just
a point
like,
to Nintendo that you don't need it.
Screw you, Nintendo. You
think
you're going to...
Yeah, you can't. I don't need your mask. DLC
you think you're
gonna bullshit.
Patch this out? This is bullshit.
Okay, so now that we're an hour into this podcast, we should probably talk about the video that's playing on the video portion of this episode. How about that Pikmin game?
Dude, Pikmin 2 is a really good speed game.
Okay, so it's Pikmin 2 specifically, right?
It's Pikmin 2 specifically. Okay. Pikmin 1 is a good game. Like, and there's a lot of stuff in Pikmin 1, but I don't play that one personally because I think there's a lot cooler stuff in Pikmin 2.
And why is that?
But yeah, I think, well, I'll get into that. So I started playing Pikmin 2 in like...
Sorry,
like,
we're just raging because my internet keeps dropping, so just whatever.
I'm just interested in how you're going to edit it. I'm just like,
dude, I'll figure it out. This is going to be a pain to edit, but I got it.
Trey's got it. I think it was like the end, I don't know, maybe like midway through 2019. I started playing Pikmin 2 because I like got involved with that community watching some of the streamers of that game, and I just thought the game was really sick because... Basically, you go down into these caves with multiple sub-levels that are pseudo-randomly generated.
Pseudo-random.
And you run around and, you know, you find the treasures and you fight the enemies and then you get the money. But there's a lot of, like, Pikmin 2 is, like, a very deep game tech-wise. Like, there's a lot of stuff you can do with your Pikmin to, like, manipulate them in certain ways. And so you just... It's basically like Sunshine Freerunning, where you go into this game with like a lot of tech skill and like fun things to do, and then just make stuff up as you go and figure out how to play a layout or something. And that's why I thought the game was super interesting.
Yeah.
See, I've personally never played a Pikmin, but I've always wanted to get around to one.
They're good. Especially casually. I like Pikmin a lot casually.
Well, when I watched a couple of your streams of it, a while ago, I remember you equating it to Sunshine Bingo. And
yeah.
So like when you go to the next floor, you have to improvise a route based on what objects
you're improvising a route and movement based on where certain treasures spawn and what enemies are in certain locations.
Yeah, and that, you know what, when you equate anything to SMS Bingo, I'm like, oh, that's actually kind of, because back in the day, we all used to be, actually all three of us used to be considered good at bingo. You know?
Correct.
So
I did recently get into the grand finals of the Mario Sunshine 1v1 lockout tourney.
Fog.
All right.
Yeah.
How did that go?
I don't know, dude. I showed up and played some matches. I fought Danny today, or yesterday, 2 days ago, in winners finals.
Yeah.
And stomped him. Easy match. Nah,
Danny's pretty good too. That's a good victory.
Nah, it was a good match. But yeah, Sib was saying something about being good at bingo.
Yeah, we've all been debatably good at bingo. Like me,
correct.
Trey's been carried to finals in the past.
Yeah, see, I teamed with Capilon, who carried me. I teamed with Sid, who carried me. I'm not good, but we'll say I'm good just to humor you, okay?
You have jumped off after collecting 99 coins in the secret in gelato twice.
Three times, but it's okay.
I like that you corrected me.
Yes. Dude, believe me, that third time I thought, okay, this is it. There's no way I'm going to mess this up. Here we go. And honestly, all right, so to be more specific, if you don't know what we're talking about, supposedly I was going to bingo, according to Sid, at some point. But let's just say that I've made probably the most time-wasting mistake you can possibly make three different times in my whole bingo career.
Yeah, the same mistake.
Which is Gelato Hundreds in the Episode 1 secret stage. Because the way Mario Sunshine works, you can actually collect 100 coin shines inside secrets if they have coins in them. So there's a bingo goal where you get a 100 coin shine in a secret. So sometimes it's good to combine this. There's the goal of Gelato Hundreds plus the hundreds in a secret, like two goals for the price of one. Sure, let's go for it.
It's the worst goal. It's the worst combination of goals. It's the least fun combination of goals in the entirety of bingo.
Because Gelato 100s takes a lot longer than Gelato 300s, which is already pretty long.
It sucks.
So by the time you get 99 coins, open the sandcastle, go in the secrets, all you have to do is successfully make your way to the middle platform, ground pound a nail to get a coin, and then make your way across a couple more gaps to get to the shine. Pretty simple, right?
Yeah.
I have died attempting that three different matches, probably across the span of 5 years.
My favorite part of all of that is that when you died the last time, you like tried to defend your movement or whatever. Like you jump dove onto the nail.
Okay, here's the thing. I don't know. I can't remember if it was the second or the third time it happened where that happened. Because if it was the second time, I'm just trying to figure out what the third thing I did was. Like, how did I mess it up a third time?
I don't know, but when we talked about it afterwards and we reviewed the tape, you, like, jump dove onto the nail at the exact height of the nail. So, like, in Sunshine, nails aren't very long. So you dive onto it, and then you just immediately fall off, and then you just die.
See, what I was trying to do to save like a single frame probably was a jump dive onto the nail into ground pound.
Yeah.
As opposed to just jumping over into ground pounding. But my dive was like you said, the perfect height for the nail. So I just like dove onto the nail and then like I couldn't even save myself.
Yeah, because if you roll out, you're dead. If you can't ground pound because you're on top of the nail. And once you're off the nail, you have like maybe a frame or two to save it.
You can maybe save it, but it's probably not going to happen.
Yeah. Anyway,
yeah, basically,
we were all good bingo.
Because I failed it three different times, I'm never going to go for that again.
Well, when was the last time you played bingo, really?
If I play bingo again, which is debatable, but anyway.
Yeah.
Back to the 2v2 metaphor.
2v2 tourney.
2v2 tourney.
Goodness.
All right, so we were saying Pikmin 2 is like bingo, so...
Yeah.
More on that, please.
I'm glad we talked about Gelato Hundreds, though. I'm
yeah,
glad
we
that
we really should Dude. Reflect on how I messed that up so many times.
I'm glad that that's the story that popped up. Did you say 2v2 tourney paper?
I was saying that as like the last time that you guys probably played bingo, right?
Yeah, I think so. Like the last match we did, probably.
Yeah, that sounds right. We did lose to Reed and Popo, so...
They destroyed us.
we got annihilated.
They pin a rushed and I pin a semi rushed. So yeah, you can guess how that went.
Yeah, we you know what, we were good at bingo 2018, 2 years ago.
It was 2018. Yeah.
Yeah, and Paper's been good at bingo for that entire, like, you know how we started off this. We talked about how he started in 2012 and he's been like pretty good the entirety, and now he's come into himself and been
Paper
really
has
good.
Ascended.
Yeah. So now he's back to being good. Because there was an era, like, Paper used to be the golden god of bingo way back in the day when I was learning bingo, when Trey was learning. I don't know when Trey learned bingo. He's been around. But Paper was the golden god. He was like, we're going to do the 3v3 blackout, and I'm going to route it and get mad at you guys if you screw up. And then,
of course,
and then if Average Swan won, and he probably got mad at it.
Oh, but yeah, Average Swan has never been defeated.
But there was that little
3v3 blackout.
We did 3v3 blackout, we did two of them in one day. I'm just remembering one day.
I think I've done like three total, and I think I was on a team with Paper and we lost. I think that every time I team with Paper, I always lose for some reason.
It's a sad time. There was Trey and I had a good match with like JJ and Quan as like an exhibition.
Good match.
We came back pretty hard,
dude. Okay, so that match, I was penta rushing against JJ, and yeah, guess how that went.
That sucks.
I got
destroyed.
Like, we got destroyed early game, but then made it like somewhat interesting.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
I thought it was still
like,
funny.
I feel like us as a team is cursed, Paper.
It probably is.
I don't know why. Like, you'd think it'd be a good team, but it's just not.
So it goes early day Paper, really good at bingo, and then middle Paper is just like, he became one of the pack, you know? He teamed with Pyroshade in the 2014 tournament. There's the famous clip of him standing in front of Bianco, not knowing what to do.
Oh, God.
Staring into Babe the abyss classic. After getting sniped to, like, what, Bianco 4? And then just kind of, like, leaving without getting the shine, and then just standing there.
Dude, remember I bet that Paper Shade still has Vietnam flashbacks to that first 2v2 lockout tournament.
Do you recall that match at all, Paper?
No. Zero bits.
I commentated all of that, so I probably commentated that match.
So the thing is, I've been around like a really long time. I don't remember most of like the first couple years of my speedrunning. And then I don't remember most of 2015 and 2016 because I either wasn't around or I really wasn't playing Sunshine at that point.
Yeah, there was a period where you weren't playing at all for
like
a year, I think.
Yarn Kirby and Paper Mario, like, way more than Sunshine.
See?
And then I...
Go for it.
Like, I wasn't really speedrunning much at that time either because I was in, like, high school and band, and that was where I did, like, most of my time, and then I speedrun other times.
That makes sense. I'm with that. So there was the dip in the middle. There was the dip in the middle standing in front of
me. There
was
definitely a dip in the middle, like, if... You could go back to, like, before 2017 when I, like, more so came back. Because at that point I, like, had graduated and was in college, and so I had, like, way more time to speedrun. And also Trey's, like, Any% History video came out, and I was like, man, there were a couple times where, like, I was good at this game. I want to be that again. And then I, like, worked my butt off to try to get back up here.
Yeah.
But, like, 2015 to 2017, like, I had, like, barely a top 50 any percent time, which now compared to my barely top 30 time.
Really? Barely top 30?
I think it's like 25th.
Dude, right now, like, top 20 is so stacked. I think I'm like, if you count Samu's actual PB, I'm 19th right now.
Yeah,
it's
PB. Come
wild.
On.
Okay,
come
I'm 18th.
On,
okay.
You're in a call with the originator of, if you really think about it, I have a 119.
Well, no, like, Samu had a run that actually was faster, but like his video wasn't good enough.
Yeah, I know. But
yeah. Okay, well, yeah, but the Paper thing where it's like, if you really think about it, I have a 119. Like, that's bullshit. But
I wish I could remember that quote better.
Oh, that's funny.
Like, I could have sworn I meant it not seriously.
No.
But
I think that's how I construed it, though. And then Sid raged at the fact that he thought it was serious.
I'm really good at just, like, sitting there and poking fun at what people do in regular conversation, where it was just, like, me, Paper, and Trey in a call in, what, 2014, 2015, something like that, literally 5 years ago at least. And Paper was talking about how he had a 120 at the time. Trey and I both had, like, he had a 23 and I had a 24 or something approximating those times. And Paper was sitting there going, like,
time.
If you really think about it, I have a 119. And then I just let it sit for a second. Trey was just like, yeah, yeah. And then it just, like, skated by. I'm like, no, we are not letting this pass. I am not letting
That's
this slide.
That's hilarious.
I'm not letting this slide at all. And it's been there ever since in the back of my head. If anybody says, like, if you really think about it, I have this time, and they don't actually have this time, don't let it skate by.
Or like, yeah, if I just, like, played more, I'd have this time. Like, no.
Yeah, that's an excuse.
But I'll admit I used to be that guy who would go along with it. Like, yeah, he's right. If he just did play more, he'd have that time.
And this is when 119 was good.
Oh, 119 was insane back then. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. That was like top 10 for sure.
Tobo's 119.34 stood for 5 months.
But yeah, Paper now.
Thanks for the fact.
He wipes his ass with 119s.
Well, to be fair, you could take a shit and get a 116. According to Reed.
That was a good quote. I appreciate that. You know, so you know what's funny about the you saying like the 119 while like whatever is JJ and I were messing around really hard in the Any Percent Weekly yesterday, and both of us finished the Any Percent race with like 30 blue coins. Just for fun, you know, and we both, he got like a 119 and I got like a 120, and we both played really bad.
The disrespect.
And see, we got second and third in that race too.
See, Zeldocto would be really pissed at you guys right now.
Good.
That's all I need.
Do you have any fun stories about Zeldocto?
Who, me?
I don't.
No, paper.
I don't think I do.
I don't.
This is a random question.
I don't remember nearly enough
about Zeldocto. I know the name, but I don't remember the personality at all.
I just remember the pace bin he wrote, getting mad at a lot of, like, this is what, 2015.
Dude, I remember. Okay, I know exactly when it was, because Hidden Power 13 and I were at AGDQ 2015 reading the pace bin when it came out. So it was January 2015, and he made a pace bin essentially saying, don't say like your PB sucks or whatever. That's just, that's not nice to people who have a worse PB. Instead, you should say stuff like, I can trash my PB.
Yeah. That's why every now and then I say, I can trash my PB.
For the meme.
Just for the meme. But it is pretty funny. This is also the same person, I think it's the same person that thought that you jumped higher with the spray nozzle versus the hover nozzle.
It's like, spray nozzle versus hover nozzle jumping comparison video.
There's so many of those like little bits of SMS history, like the Psycho Strats to enter Noki Bay.
Yeah,
to save
we can
1.
Get into more
seconds.
Of these like at some other point. There's just so many of them.
Oh, there's so many. In our second last episode, before the Kenny episode, we have to go through them all.
The Kenny episode, yeah, when that happens. Yeah. Yeah, what gameplay will we show on screen for the Kenny episode?
I don't.
An hour and a half of him doing Kenny kicks.
There you go.
Yeah.
Nothing less will suffice.
There's a reason it's called Kenny Kicks. Oh, dude, can we talk about how you used to rage at the term Kenny Kicks, Paper?
Oh, okay, wait. I think I raged at the term Kenny Kick for the Serena 2 strat.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't think I raged at Kenny Kicks for, like, the flat wall kick. Or no.
All right, no, okay, just so I think Paper Kicks were the 90-degree variants.
That was the 90-degree variants, and then Kenny did the flat wall one.
Which is even harder.
But then Kenny got, like, credit for, like, the Serena 2, like, where you jump off the stew and then triple jump Y-turn.
Didn't Kenny
find
that? And
I was, like, I was almost positive I found that, but, like, I didn't really care too much to bring it up. I was like, you know what, Kenny can have this.
I always thought that was Kenny until this very moment.
Yeah, same.
Now you know some interesting SMS facts.
It feels like a Huff Electro moment.
That could be like a me misremembering thing too, but
this feels like a bra moment.
It's definitely a bra moment. At the very least, it's probably we both found it independently, but like,
yeah, kind of like
he could have done it first, but yeah, exactly. It didn't really matter too much, and I didn't care to make an issue out of it.
Okay, well, I think we've covered a lot of your games you've speed ran, unless there was some other game you wanted to talk about.
Well, talk you about know what? Trey, we can ask about the resume.
That's what I was going to get to.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the resume. This is the
you
next part of the thing.
Your turn to pop the question, Sid.
You don't ask him about the games he wants to talk about. Now you have to ask him his resume and if it bleeds into other games. You know, we didn't talk about Overwatch. We didn't talk about Overwatch with Huff until he listed it on his resume. You know.
All right, this is like our pre-planned segment during the actual segment.
Yeah.
Or this is pre-planning during an episode. Anyway.
I don't know. We're talking. This is.
I don't know where you guys are going either.
This is the least prep we've ever done for an episode, and I'm kind of enjoying it, but also hating it to its core. All right.
All right, Sid, pop the question if you so want desire to do so.
Will you marry me, Paper? All right. That's the question. That's the pop the question. That was my good joke. All right. The resume.
Is that a reason to leave? The resume.
You are a gamer. In the hypothetical world, you are a gamer, okay?
Okay.
You've written a resume that contains all of your greatest gaming achievements onto one page with a cover letter. Maybe a bibliography in the back for literally no reason. That just says bibliography because you don't have
bibliography.
Yeah. A cover letter.
It's a school research paper instead of a resume.
Yeah. Cover letter, resume. And you have this whole list of
cite your sources.
And you're walking into an office and Tobo is sitting at a table. He speaks English in this reality.
Oh, no.
All right. In this hypothetical world where you're a gamer, Tobo also speaks English.
Okay.
Because those two things can never happen.
They can't coincide. So you're handing him this resume. You're looking for a job gaming. Who knows? I don't know what the job is. It's for anything you want it to be. But you're trying to impress him and get the job. What do you put on your resume, on your greatest achievements in gaming resume?
Probably near the top or at the top would be like 8 years of speedrunning, Sunshine 120 world record.
Oh, so like dedication to speedrunning is one of them, you think?
I think so. Like,
yeah.
8 years in a hobby, like, I think that shows a lot of dedication to the gaming craft. Probably right under that, I would probably put like my Pikmin and Mario U accomplishments, because those two games I actually sort of did well in. I still have a top 10 time in Pikmin 2 any percent, and like a decent time in the 100% category of that game. So those are probably there. I was almost had the record in Super Mario Bros. U any percent, but I was like 10 seconds away from that, but I still have like
how
a top
optimized
4
is
time.
That?
It's pretty good. I mean, the record now is a lot better. Like,
right.
When I was going for the record, it was a 37.24, and now it's a 37.16.
Hmm.
And like my SOB in that game is probably a 13 or 12. So the world record's really good. But Yarn Kirby, definitely nowhere on that list. Definitely nowhere.
You don't want anybody to know that you played Yarn Kirby?
Nope. Nope. Honestly.
You think that Tobo would reject your
Absolutely.
Resume?
I probably couldn't even put my Sunshine accomplishments on there because Tobo would be like, I did better than this. Go back.
Well, not in 120 shines now.
Probably a lot of stuff about bingos and like the community things that we've done in the past, like the relay races, the tournaments.
Helped
back-to-back
run
back-to-back Sunshine tournament winner.
Helped run season 5 period. Of the task stuff.
Oh, the tasks. That was a good time.
I
wish they were
those.
Better. I wish I was more creative, but I'm glad that I did it at all because the tasks were like, it was a fun thing to try to do, see how well of a job I could do.
Yep.
And
do you put on the resume you beating JJ in that like best of 3 grand finals on GSA? Do you put
no,
that on there?
But I don't tell them that, but I tell them I won the tournament.
It's like, I won the tournament, but don't watch the last VOD.
Yeah, definitely don't watch the tournament winning match. That part, no.
Yeah.
Some of the other matches, though. I got a PB in one of those races. I got like a 116.02. Or no, I tied my PB of 116.02.
That oh, was yeah, funny. Yeah, yeah. I remember seeing that.
That happened, I think, in the race versus Ouija. In like pools.
I remember commentating with Electric in the grand finals with JJ versus you, and it was I don't know. It eventually what did JJ like essentially forfeited both games? Like he just
it was bad. I think JJ just fell really far behind in both, and then I finished some like really mediocre runs.
Yeah,
that's how it goes sometimes. Honestly, I'm not a fan of the standard SMS any percent tournament. I feel like it can go really well sometimes if it's close races, but it can also go pretty one-sided, and like someone dies in Piazza, it almost feels like it's over immediately.
Yeah, that pretty much happened in the race JJ and I had yesterday. I died in Pianta 5 and I couldn't come back for the rest of the race.
Like, Pianta 5 is a very relatively common place to die early on, and it's a pretty big time loss.
Yeah. But,
I just feel like for any percent races,
oh yeah,
I think like a different format is probably better. Like,
I think, yeah, I think something for that, like, heats would have to be, like, required, because, like, two people racing any percent is so boring, and then you have so many more matches with so much of the same commentary for the exact same stuff that, like, you don't want to see.
Dude, commentating any percent races, like, the 100th one you do, you're just like, so this is travel skip again.
Eventually, you're just hanging out. You're just like,
yeah.
Sup, other commentator? What's up with, like, if they're that far apart, you don't want to talk about it's the just streamer problem of playing Sunshine and being required to explain every, it's Mario, you're going fast.
Yeah, you like, can't treat it like a GDQ run. You gotta treat it like, yeah, we're gonna give like some little fun facts about these runners and maybe like just talk about other stuff occasionally and like mention if they die somewhere. That's pretty important, I guess. Like, but you can't just like go by the books GDQ run style. That's pretty boring.
If you go GDQ run, like you might as well.
Yeah, you're messing up.
I would actually probably rather watch no commentary than any commentary, like, if you're doing GDQ commentaries.
The reason GDQ runs are the way they are is because it's going to the widest possible audience of like people who don't even know what speedrunning is, probably. So explaining stuff makes sense there. Whereas like on Sunshine Community streams, the majority of the chat already knows what's going on, so you can kind of like poke fun and like just sort of hang out, like Sid said.
This is GBS. Like, we run into a coconut and then we clip into a hut. That's it.
And that's it. That's like your entire explanation of this like big trick, right?
Yeah.
And then you just move on.
And then you're just like, yeah.
That's perfectly acceptable. That's good.
Yeah. You run into a coconut. Hog. Dude, that's it. You run into a coconut.
You know. Imagine going back to like 2013 and telling someone that like to do Gelato Beach Skip, it's like run into a coconut, and they would be so confused.
Yeah, tell that to Sid. 2014... I bet he wouldn't quit.
I quit, dude. I've quit. I've re-quit today.
Because of the new Rico 8 clip.
the Rico 8 clip doesn't even make sense. I don't know what's going on. I look at like Switchmaster's clip of it and Greg War's clip of it, and they're just diving into this grate and then clipping in, and I did it once after trying it for 20 minutes, and I'm like, this is like GBS all over again. I'm just quitting this game, it doesn't make sense.
Over a skip that saves like 10 seconds
we're going full circle. I quit the game for GBS, I came back, you know what, I'm quitting the game because of this clip, and I'm done. It's over
because of an obscure Rico 8 clip.
Yeah, and you know what, it would save time in Is it actually? Do you know anything about this clip, Paper?
I do know the clip.
Have you done it?
But I haven't done it. But
I guess I'll explain it to the lovely listeners. So, Rico 8.
Thank you Trey, for your GDQ commentary.
Thank you to GDQify this. Rico 8. Usually, you got to get the free machine to get Yoshi, and then you get the platforms across, and you spray the shit and go into the thing.
Yeah.
But for a while now, there's been a clip where you can use a coconut, which is cool. Yeah. But now there's an even newer one, which is coconutless. And all you got to do is like dive into the corner a very specific way.
And it's like half inspired by me because I uploaded a clip a year and a half ago and Zelpiku like found it and went, huh. And then tried to emulate it and went, oh, it works. And then
did Zelpiku find a random tweet of yours from like a year ago?
Like, he retweeted it, what, a month ago? And was just like, huh. And then, like, 2 days later, him and Orange, or ZMDKRR, whatever you want to call him, they both uploaded videos being like, oh, yeah, we figured this out in Rico 8. It's done. And it's just like, okay, cool, whatever.
That's
and I'm just
wild.
Sitting here being like, I don't know how to do this clip. Nobody explains anything. And then I look at a Switchmaster video of him clipping into the grate and getting the shine immediately in, like, 30 seconds. And he's just like, yeah, it's really important about your X position. And I'm sitting there going like, what does that mean?
And I'm sitting there like, wouldn't Z position matter as well? Why just X? I don't know.
I'm really mad at this trick right now. I literally, because Paper pushed back the podcast recording by like 2 hours, I had the extra time to dedicate to like relearning some 96 Shine stuff and actually learning new 96 Shine stuff because I'm planning to go back to any percent 96. And I'm trying this Rico 8 clip and I'm like, now I'm just pissed. Like, I'm really mad that Paper pushed back the podcast because now I have time to play this game.
Congratulations, Paper. You pushing the podcast back has made Sid quit the game forever.
I've quit.
I'm sorry, Sid. But
all your fault.
Know this, everyone quits Sunshine at some point.
Dude, I think this is the longest stint. Actually, that's not true. I've had longer breaks from Sunshine, but I've just had like zero motivation to play the game for the past few months. And that's also being further pushed by my recent obsession with the new Xenoblade remaster that came out. Having a blast with that.
I didn't even know that existed.
Definitive Edition.
Oh, right.
Yeah, it's this is my first time playing a Xenoblade. It's really good so far. I'll share my thoughts on it more in the next guestless episode, but for now, just know that I'm still playing it, so.
Hey, Paper.
Nice. Hi.
I share one update, and it's like, you're ignoring Paper's strategy.
I'm just saying, hey, Paper. I don't know. It was dead air. I was going to be like,
your
hey, let's go back to the
tone.
I don't have any tone.
I knew you would say that too. God damn it.
I just wanted to say hey to Paper.
You ruined the podcast.
I didn't say it. I talked about 96 Shines at the beginning of this podcast for like 10 minutes when we had a guest.
I don't mention Paper for 2 seconds.
I was just ranting about, after I talked about 96 Shines for like 15 minutes, I was sitting there going like, why did I talk about 96 Shines for 15 minutes? We have a guest.
So Paper, are you marrying Sid or not?
No. And if so, okay, on your cover letter for the resume, I just want to know if there's a picture of regular Paper Ario or cooler Paper Ario.
It'd probably be cooler Paper Ario. He's got the shades.
Yeah.
I think that the cooler Paper Ario definitely came out when the new 120 world records came out. The show.
Yeah. Sort of. I missed like the last like 20 seconds of conversation. So
wait, did I cut out again?
This podcast is amazing.
No, I just missed it personally.
We were just, I mean, Sid asked you that question and you answered it quite eloquently.
I did, and then but I didn't know where the rest of like conversation like led up to it. I just knew about the cooler Paper Ario and I was like, okay.
We're saying you're a cool guy, Paper.
I am very cool.
Yeah, what is this episode right now?
I don't know. I'm kind of happy that it exists, though.
Yeah.
You know? It's our one episode we're allowed to just kind of, like, hang. So Paper, the...
We're hanging.
Paper, yes. And I, Paper, Trey and I used to hang in Skype calls back in the day. Lurking in a Skype call.
Quickly became lurking in a Discord call.
Yeah. Discord's better, but...
oh, really?
So the resume... Yes, Trey, Discord's better. So the resume.
I had this resume.
Yes.
Of gaming stuff. I don't think I really would add anything to anything else I said. I couldn't think of anything else.
Yeah, I thought it was good. You don't want to add too much because like Tobo doesn't want to read that much.
Short and simple.
You play Minecraft?
I didn't. I have not ever played Minecraft.
Okay. I'm just wondering.
Sid's got to meet his quota.
No, I'm just asking.
I'm making fun of
non-sequitur. Just an interesting question. Don't worry about it. I'm asking how much Minecraft.
Just
you play.
A random
zero,
question. Yeah, you're right.
If it's zero, then that's fine. You know, not disrespecting the man.
You've never played Minecraft, Paper?
I don't think I ever had.
Damn, that's crazy. Actually,
that's a stat. You should put that on your resume. Never played Minecraft.
That is actually really impressive.
I was never interested in it. Although I like Animal Crossing, but like.
I actually, I recently quit New Horizons Cold Turkey about a week ago.
I didn't Cold Turkey New Horizons, but like, when I decided to try to get good at Sunshine, I basically just stopped doing anything else, but that wasn't Sunshine.
I'm kind of the same way. I have to focus on one thing at a time. If I try like, half-ass two things, they're just both half-assed, and I just feel bad about both of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll probably play New Horizons at some point again, though. Like, I enjoyed it. I just, like, wanted to focus on other things. And
yeah, exactly. I was kind of the same way.
At some point, like, my town got, like, halted in, like, where I was going with it, and I was like, I don't really have any more creative ideas, and then I just dropped.
I made, like, one fairly cool area in my town, then my inspiration ran out, and I just kind of stopped playing it.
Yeah.
So Paper, it's been nice having you on the podcast.
It's been a treat.
Thank you. Thank you for letting me be on the podcast.
Is this the end? Are we just ending? I think this is this the end?
Yes. Yeah, I thought you were ending it right now.
I think we're ending.
You gotta commit to the bit.
I have to commit to this podcast being awesome bad. I don't understand what this podcast is, but
it was a trip for sure.
For sure.
Hope you all enjoyed this Pikmin gameplay if you're not listening to the audio recording only.
We should prep more for podcasts.
Nah, I thought this was fine.
So people just get to see what casual Trey and Sid look like.
Yeah, every episode before this has been entirely
not
scripted.
Not casual.
This is our first non-scripted episode ever.
Yeah, usually we have like pages and pages, and then we just kind of go through it all. But do you have any shout-outs to go through, Paper, for the ending of your episode of the podcast, which was the greatest episode so far?
Shout-outs to Trey and Sid for their preparedness.
Yes.
Shout-outs to the Sunshine community for being epic. Shout-outs to Pyroshade. Shout-outs to my mom. Simp mom.
Yeah.
Trey's mom?
Trey mom.
Thank you.
Sid mom. And, that'll do. Shout-outs to Oathlaker. Only reason I'm any sort of famous.
Let's go, Oat. You know, Nanashi doesn't get enough praise for how much routing he does. Because he does an awkwardly... an amount of routing that goes unnoticed within the SMS community. Like, he rerouted 96 Shine's Serena 100s just kind of randomly and just gave it to me. And I'm cool. Or gave it to the community. But he gave it to me because I'm the 96 Shine guy. And and he does random 120 stuff, but not a lot of people really shout him out for that. But then again, it's an English podcast. But shout outs to Nanashi. That's my shout out for the cast. But yeah.
Very good shout outs all around.
That's been episode 34 of the podcast, Video Games Are Hard. We're on Google Play and Spotify if you want to listen there as well, on YouTube, Average Trey VG. Thanks for hanging out as long as this podcast was. Thanks to Paper for hanging out with us, and thanks to my co-host Trey for being with us as well.
Indeed.
Thanks for hanging, and see you next week.
Later, folks.
Play the clarinet. Clarinet, play us out.